All right, take your Bibles, turn to Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16, we're going to read verses 25 through 34 together. Acts chapter 16, verses 25 through 34. We'll read this passage responsively. I'll read verse 25, you join me on 26, and we'll alternate through the passage that way. Acts chapter 16, verses 25 through 34. We'll read this, I'll pray, we'll have a special, and then I'll come back and preach. Acts chapter 16, verses 25 through 34. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundation of the prisons were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loose. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep, and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house." And they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night, and washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and all his, straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them, and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. And let's pray. Father, we sure do need you. Holy Spirit of God, I pray that you would take the truth of the Word of God today and drive it deep into our hearts, into our minds, into our lives. And Lord, please do what I cannot do and meet the needs of each and every person here. God, I don't know that I've ever preached a good sermon, but we're preaching truth. Never tried to preach a good one, but I've tried to help people. I pray that you'd use this to help them today in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Let me help you today. And I mean this. If you'll kind of, Brother Barnes, can you give me just a hair? I don't know what the, I think the humidity level has affected the PA or my voice, one of the two. but just a little bit more oomph will help there. Thank you. That was good. That was helpful. But if you'll kind of put your phones away, put your toys away, and listen to me today. You may not need this sermon today, but there's coming a day you need this sermon. I would say most everybody here needs it today. Our country needs it today. But I want to help you. Paul and Silas are preachers. They've been preaching, and they've been thrown in jail for preaching. By the way, the day's coming where we're going to see that in America again. People will be thrown in jail for preaching the truth. Under the last administration of a president, those of us that preach like I preach were put on the terror list. If you preach against sin, you were called a terrorist. So be careful, the day will come. So many people, though, were getting saved in the area where Paul was here and Silas. The Bible says that there were so many people getting saved that those who made false gods made these little idols, you know, the statues of Mother Mary and St. Christopher and St. Lucifer and St. whoever, all the little statue makers and all the little trinket makers, that so many people were getting saved that they quit buying those things and business started getting hurt. And because of that, these business people of the false gods decided it was time to get Paul and Silas out of there and throw them in jail so they quit, so that they could start making money again. Would to God we had revivals like that taking place in America today. Would to God that men of God would get up and preach and bars would be closed and places of filth would be closed like the days of Billy Sunday. Back in the 19-teens and 1920s and 1930s, evangelist Billy Sunday would get up and he preached a sermon against booze during Prohibition and things. And he'd get up and preach a sermon called "Get On the Water Wagon." And he'd get up and preach, and literally the bars in town would shut down, and I mean close their doors forever. Barkeepers were getting saved. They would invite Billy Sunday to the factories to come preach. And they would give them the lunch hour for him to preach, and sometimes they'd have 2-, 3-, 4-hour revival meetings in places of business. Henry Ford invited Billy Sunday to preach in virtually every one of his plants because he knew Christians had a better work ethic, and they cleaned their life up. They'd show up to work, they'd work hard, and they would take care of their families the way they were supposed to and not ruin their lives. Would to God we had men of God with a reputation like that today. Amen. Paul and Silas are in jail for doing right. The Bible says that they were beaten. They had been beaten with sticks or with a cat of nine tails. Their skin was ripped off of their body and their clothing. And not only that, they were put into chains and they were bound to the walls of the prison. Now, it's late. It's midnight. You'd think that they would be moaning and groaning and complaining if they were alive today and they were like many of you and me, they'd probably be sitting there saying, well, I wonder what good this Christianity stuff is. I wonder where God's at now. Oh, woe is me. Look at all my problems. I tried to serve God and now I'm in jail. No. Midnight came and Paul leaned over to Brother Silas and said, Brother Silas, if you hit lead, I think I can hit baritone. Let's sing. They began to sing songs that night. The Bible says in verse number 25, that the prisoners heard them. Have you ever been in a jail before? Not necessarily as a resident, but some of you have. That's not one of those places you really hear a lot of singing, especially gospel singing. I can hear these two old Baptist preachers getting up singing away like Lester Roloff. Amen. Lester Roloff was thrown in jail 3 different times and he began to sing and preach. He had revival break out in the jails when he went to jail. They didn't let him back in the jails because he started preaching. He had a captive audience. Nobody could go anywhere. He'd just sit in his jail and preach away. And the prisoners started getting saved, and somebody started against Brother Roloff in the jail one day, and a bunch of the prisoners beat the tar out of the guy and said, shut up, that's the preacher, keep your hands off him. Can I tell you something? Here they are, they're bound, their feet are bound in the stocks, they've been beaten, and they're singing praises to God and probably preaching. Now, the Bible says that the prisoners heard them, and I don't know. I personally think that I don't know a Baptist preacher alive that's got any oomph in him at all that doesn't give an invitation for somebody to get saved. Now, I have no idea if people were getting saved or not. I kind of think that they were. But I know this, while they were singing and possibly preaching, the Bible says that an earthquake took place, and it was such a strong earthquake that all of the prison doors were opened up, and all of the bands, the chains, the shackles and things, were broken off of the prisoners. I've been through some earthquakes. How many of you have ever been through an earthquake? And I'm not talking about the little piddly thing we had here a few years ago. I mean a real earthquake. My wife and I lived in Southern California for 2 years. That's the line of shake, rattle, and roll, let me tell you. We've been through 2 earthquakes that were 7+. We got up one morning. It was a Sunday morning. I was getting up very, very early. It was about 5:15. I literally got up and was turning off the alarm clock, and the earthquake hit. It was a 7.2 earthquake in Southern California. It was the Whittier quake. And I mean to tell you, I turned that alarm clock off, and the whole world started shaking. I thought, man, I must be having a nightmare because something's not right here. And it didn't take but a couple seconds because we had been through some smaller ones for me to realize, okay, this isn't the normal earthquake here. And I woke my wife up. I think Josh had just been born. He was just a little baby. And my house was moving 3 feet. Okay, it was whew, whew. Now, there's several different kinds of earthquakes. You have the what we call the gentle rollers. they just kind of go rink, rink, rink. And those are the, you sit in your recliner and you just kind of roll back and forth like this, and they're just nice and gentle, and you don't worry about them. Then you have the herky-jerky ones. Those will rattle your teeth. Those start going like this, and your cup's sitting on your desk, and it'll go like that. Those get a little bit more exciting. Then you have the ones that we called the wave. All right? Those come by, and you literally see the floors and stuff start doing this. Those get really exciting. One of those waves hit you, it's going to throw you. Well, this Whittier quake did all three at the same time. It was shaking so hard that, and I don't mean to be crude, but all of the water in the toilet bowl went whoosh right up against the bathroom wall. We lost half of the baptistry water at the church. It took all the water in the baptistry and just whoosh, whoosh this way, right out the ends of the baptistry. You looked outside and it was flashing because all of the power lines were smacking each other and arcing and the power's going crazy. And an earthquake like that gets a little exciting because it sounds like thunder, but the thunder's not up there. The thunder's down there. The ground is literally sounding like thunder rolling, but it's weird because it's coming from down below you and not on top of you. So you got the sound, and most of the houses out there are built on giant springs so that they do this and do this and everything's okay. So you got these giant coil springs under your house that are going like this. So you got the noise of the house shaking and everything else. My house never fell apart. Praise the Lord. But may I say this, this one was bigger than that because the whole prison started shaking apart. Now I've reached for doorways before. To reach for a door frame, and all of a sudden it's about a foot and a half over here, and it's not there anymore. Okay? I've been part of that. I understand that. I've watched doors shake off. I've watched things fly around. I've watched things slamming. You go through one or two of those, and your life changes a little bit. You get a little sense of how little you really are. It ends after a period of time, and the prison keeper had been sleeping. Of course, it wakes you up. Now, I don't know if the prison keeper lived at the prison. I'm assuming he did. But if not, he lived very nearby. And the Bible says that he sprang in and looked to see how bad it was and saw that all of the cell doors were open. Now, if you were a prison keeper, you had the charge to make sure that nobody escaped. And whoever escaped, if someone left the prison and weren't supposed to, you took on you the rest of their sentence. You then became liable and responsible for the rest of their punishment. So they took it pretty seriously. That would cut down on problems in jail. Amen. And that's exactly what the Roman government stated. And when he saw that all those doors were opened up, what's the chances of people not leaving a prison if all the doors open up? He thought, I'm in trouble. I may as well just end it all. And the Bible says he drew his sword and was getting ready to kill himself. Paul and Silas saw him and said, do thyself no harm. He said, what good's it going to do? Everything's open. He said, Paul and Silas said, it's okay. We're all here. I've got everybody here. Everybody stayed. Everybody's okay. And don't hurt yourself. And then that famous statement, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Just so you know, I know we preachers preach that to our advantage. And I know Paul and Silas used it to their advantage. But he didn't say, how do I know for sure I'm going to heaven when I die? He said, what can I do to spare my life here? He wasn't talking about eternity. He was talking about now. They said, well, you ought to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ so that you can get saved, so that if you do die, you know for sure you're going to heaven someday. The Bible says that jailer got saved that night. Paul and Silas were taken by that jailer to where his family was, and they got saved, and he baptized them all, and the jailer began to bind up their wounds and take care of him. Now, I say that to say this. Many of us get to the point in life where we're like the Philippian jailer and we don't know what to do. The devil in sin confuses mankind. Let me say that again. The devil and sin confuses mankind. God did not make you to sin. So when we sin, it becomes confusing to how we were created. We were not created to die. So death confuses us. We were not created to be sick. But sin has brought sickness. Therefore, sickness confuses us. People will say, it's not right. Brother Walters, 46 years old, dying of cancer. Found out 4 months ago he had cancer and he's in heaven today. 6 months ago this week, preached behind this piece of wood right here, May 15th. It just doesn't make sense, preacher. Sin confuses. May I say this? When you're a blood-washed, forgiven child of God, your sins have been removed, then you really get confused when you begin to sin and mess up your life. It makes even less sense. Everybody doing all right?
Yes, sir.
We become then like this Philippian jailer, and we get to a point where we're so confused, we're willing to self-destruct rather than fix the problem. The devil wants, young people, listen to me, the devil wants nothing more than to ruin your life by sin. He may not be able to take you away from going to heaven because you got saved, but he can ruin your life here on earth. He can make your life miserable here on earth. Can I tell you something? You're looking at one of the happiest men you've ever met in your whole life. You're looking at one of the men that carries an awful lot of heartaches, burdens, and a lot of grief and a lot of problems, but I enjoy life. I'm around death so much. There's probably only one profession in the world that deals with more death than I, and it's the undertaker. Funeral homes. I'm not saying that to be arrogant, but you know, just there's not a month of my life go by that I don't deal with death. There's not many weeks go by that I don't deal with death. That's not always just here in our church, but I deal with it. Good night. I was in Montana a few weeks ago on a hunting trip. The last day of my trip, found out my 99-and-a-half-year-old grandmother went to heaven. Drove 3,300 miles that week, came back, and the next Friday, I preached here all day Sunday, preached Wednesday night, went to Ohio on Friday, preached her funeral, came back, preached all day Sunday, and I'm doing fine. I'm doing fine. Mrs. Barnes was here on Friday morning when I got the call that Brother Walters went to heaven. And I promise you, my attitude didn't change. I didn't fall apart and break down in my office. And I love that man. I taught him in college. He used to come by my office as a security guard every morning early, about 5:30, 6 o'clock, with his coffee cup. Brother Bush, you got coffee? Yep, I do. Good. I'd shove some coffee in his cup, and we'd sit there and pray. And he'd have questions about how to get through class or this, that, or the other thing, and I helped get Brother Rick through Bible college. Oh, wait a minute. Do I love him? Yes, I do. But am I going to let his going to heaven stop me from living right now? Uh-uh. Not at all. My wife will tell you, I'm not a depressed person. It's not that I never get discouraged, but I don't stay there. I might touch it from time to time, but I let go of it as quick as I can. Now, if you'll listen to me, I can help you. There is a biblical recipe that I want to show you today. And may I say this, and this is not earth-shattering. Did you know we're all sinners? Brother Larry, did you know you're a sinner? Your wife knew it too. Malachi, did you know that Dawn's a sinner? Yes, you did know that. We all know Ellen's a sinner. Can I tell you something? The preacher's a sinner. Yeah. Did you know I'm going to die someday if the Lord doesn't come back first? Some of my enemies wished I would have already died. Now, may I say this? We're all sinners. And sin brings confusion. And when you get confused, what you do with your sin determines what happens in your life. Now, listen to me very carefully. Let me give you three things today about how sin confuses and how people react to sin. Number one, people hide and try to cover up their sin. Let's go all the way back to the Garden of Eden in Genesis chapter 3 in the first sin. God said, man, you can eat of the tree of the gardens, any of the fruit here except of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And when man committed the same sin that Satan committed by saying, look, I'd like to be God. I don't need God to tell me what to do. God will have to accept what I am. The Bible says that God came down in the cool of the day to walk with Adam and Eve and said, Adam, where art thou? And he said, we're over here hiding. He said, why are you hiding? He said, because found out we don't have any clothes on. And they sewed fig leaves together to cover themselves to talk to the Lord. And he said, who told you? But notice they were hiding from God. Those of you that are parents, did you ever have a small child do something? And all of a sudden it got real quiet. And you knew something wasn't right. And you found something broken or something wasn't the way it was supposed to be. And you couldn't find the child to find out what was going on because they were hiding. Y'all know what I'm talking about? My oldest, when he was very, very small, he loved flushing things down the commode. I don't know how many times I took a commode apart and took toys out of it. I lost count. I used to go to the store and buy all of the wax rings in advance, so I had 3 or 4 or 5 of them on hand just in case. I'm not kidding. I don't know how many times I took that thing off. I remember one day there's water all over the bathroom, and of course I knew what it was. And I couldn't find Josh anywhere. I said, Josh, did you? Oh no, Daddy, that was Jeff. Jeff was 2 months old. We have a problem, Houston. And it wasn't Jeff this time. There were other times it was. No. But people hide. Can I tell you something? The first thing you want to do when you do something wrong is hide. Did you ever break the neighbor's window? First thing you do is run and hide. Say, how do you know? Been there, done that many a time. You want to hide it from everybody. You want to hide from God. You want to hide from mom or dad. You want to hide from the person whom you've offended. You want to hide from your spouse. You want to cover it up. Did you know fig leaves don't cover an awful lot? And even if they do, it doesn't cover it very long. Because the moment you pull them off, they start dying and drying up. Man's fix to sin doesn't do very much at all. Brother June, you might want to shut this. I might offend somebody that's here. Can I tell you something? Look at me. Man's fix to God is pretty stupid. Well, let's do this. Let's take water and splash it on your head and say, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, and now your sins are forgiven. Did you know that water is not holy, no matter who prays over it?
Did you know lighting a candle can't fix anybody's eternity? Did you know all the good things you can do, Brother Jimbo, which aren't very many, all the good things you could do still don't equal what it takes to get to heaven because you're not good enough because you're a sinner?
That's right.
Brother Brian, no matter how many Hail Marys you say and how many beads you count while you're saying Hail Mary and all the other things, did you know no matter how much of that you do, can't get anybody to heaven? How could Mary get you to heaven? She was a sinner just like you and me. Did you ever notice how silly man's way to cover up sin is? Well, now we have the generation of the transgender, LGBTQ, RS, whatever. When you were born, they don't give you a birth certificate that says to be determined at a later date. I hate to disappoint you. Amen. Now, the state of California has now voted to pass through that parents can get one that is a gender-neutral birth certificate. But coming from California, the land of fruits, flakes, and nuts, that does not surprise me. I'll promise you one thing. You go to the cow lot, you'll find out which ones are bulls and which ones are cows.
Amen.
Doesn't take long at all. You put the bull in the pen with the cows, you'll find out who's who in a real hurry. You put a bunch of bulls together, you'll find out who the bulls are right away. They'll start fussing, feuding, and fighting with one another, but they're not going to be getting along holding hands singing Kumbaya either. I don't care if you put a rainbow-colored thing on them, it doesn't change. It's a bull. And you're plumbed one of two ways, and that's it. It doesn't take much sense to figure that out. I'm not angry. I'm just letting you know Bible sense.
Yes, sir.
I'm not criticizing. God calls it sin.
Amen.
By the way, it's no worse a sin than lying about it or lying in general. It's no worse a sin, but we're trying to cover it up. Well, you just need to be more tolerant. We need a tolerant society. Sin is sin and it needs preached against.
Amen.
Drinking alcohol is wicked, vile, filthy sin and it's wrong, just like the LGBTQ sodomites are.
That's right.
Everybody doing all right? Telling a lie, whether it's a little white one or a big black one or any other color in between, is still sin.
Yes, that's right.
My Bible says that all liars, witchcraft, murderers, adulterers, idolaters shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone. Guess what? Liars is in the same list,
yes, sir,
as Harry Potter. Witchcraft.
Yes, sir.
You see, the most common response to our sin is to cover it up. That's why when you do something wrong, the first thing you want to do is crank up the rock music or the country western music to make yourself feel better. Because you want to listen to something that's as bad or worse than what you did, so you don't feel so bad about what you did. Everybody doing all right?
Yes,
man, I'm having fun right now. Somebody say amen. Amen, preacher. When you do something wrong, it's kind of hard to get up and sing, I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. It's kind of hard to get up and sing that after you just lied to your parents. Everybody doing all right? It's easy to go out and spend money on yourself to try to forget your sin. I did something wrong, so I'm going to go out and buy something for myself so I feel better. I watch people go into more debt because of their wicked sin than anything because they don't have the character to get right with God. They covered up with booze. Now that really makes a lot of sense to me. I did something wrong, so I'm going to go get drunk so I do stupider things. That really makes a whole lot of sense. I'm going to take rotten stuff that's vile, that's moving itself right in the cup, that should be thrown down the commode or poured out on the ground. Shouldn't have even been made to begin with. And I'm going to guzzle it till I get stupid and do stupider things that I don't even remember I did, or I'll feel bad about later and wake up throwing up, which does not make any sense at all. Why you would want to drink to the point where you vomit. Huh. That really makes a lot of sense to cover it up, doesn't it? We want to cover it up with the nasty Hollywood garbage, the filth and the wickedness of Hollywood. We'll watch all of their stuff to make us feel better. We're finding out little by little, and you're only getting the tip of the iceberg how bad Hollywood really is. Look how many stars are taking a fall right now. It's been going on for generation after generation after generation. Listen to me. We want to cover it up with more sin so we feel better about our sin. We want to rebel, so, and you can say what you want. How we dress reveals what we are. It reveals an attitude. You're not going to take all your clothes off and wear nothing but your underwear and go down to the beach and say, I'm going to be a good testimony for Jesus. Young people, listen to me. Just because you paint your underwear pretty colors and put polka dots and stripes and things on them and you sit by water and sand doesn't make running around in your underwear advisable. You wouldn't go to school in nothing but your underwear. Why would you run around with a whole bunch of other people doing it?
Yes, sir.
Say, preacher, you're old-fashioned. Yeah, hang on. It's going to get tougher. We want to blame others to cover up our sin. In the Garden of Eden, Adam did it. God, the woman thou gavest me, she made me do it. He blamed God and he blamed Eve. The woman that thou gavest me, she made me do it. Isn't it easy to blame somebody else rather than say, it's my fault? We want to blame our parents. Well, my dad didn't take me to enough ball games when I was a kid, so I became a serial murderer. My mom didn't burp me enough when I was a baby, so I became a pervert. That's what people do today. Well, my dad paddled me when I was a boy, so I became an LGBTQ. He warped my psyche. My dad didn't call it a psyche, but he warped it more than once. And I came out just fine. We want to blame our friends. Well, I just felt peer pressure. What are you doing with a crowd like that anyway? That's your fault for being with them. I love what Brother June said in Sunday school this morning. He gets a new worker with him. He sits him down in his truck and says, now look, I'm a Christian. I'm born again. I'm saved. I don't cuss. I don't smoke. And I don't tell dirty stories. And don't do it in my presence while you're here.
Amen.
You don't have to worry about separating. They'll separate from you. Foo, real quick. We want to blame the church. Well, it's all God's fault. I tried church and it just didn't work for me. And somebody at the church, they're supposed to be Christians. Yeah, and they're lost just like you are. They're sinners just like you are. And they sin just like you sin. And your bad attitude because somebody else messed up is just as bad as their bad attitude.
Amen.
Everybody doing all right? Somebody say amen. Why don't we just get it out in the open and get it right with God? Now, it'll be a cold day where the booger man lives before I make somebody come up here and tell everybody what bad things you've done. That's stupid.
Yes,
that's
sir.
Gossip.
That's right.
Amen. You can get right at the altar, you and God, and you can say, I'm just coming to get right with God. Doesn't matter what it is. Everybody doing all right? By the way, someday you'll thank God for a preacher like that when it's you or somebody in your family. Everybody else doesn't have to forgive you. Only you and God have to take care of that or the person that you have wronged.
Amen.
Everybody in the church doesn't need to know what you did.
That's right.
Well, there are certain sins. Who made you, God, to decide what those are?
That's right.
There is not a list in the Bible that tells us like that. That means don't do it. So, number one, we try to hide or cover up our sin. Number two, You begin to search and investigate everything to figure out what you want to do with it. Acts chapter 8, we won't take time to turn there, but there's a man called the Ethiopian eunuch. Philip had been preaching a revival service, and God stopped the revival and said, Philip, I want you to go out in the desert. When you get out there, there's a certain place, he said, you're going to see a fella that needs to get saved, win him to Christ, and baptize him, and come back and start preaching. Philip stops preaching the revival, goes out to the desert, and he's sitting there, or driving by, and he sees this Ethiopian sitting in a chariot reading the Bible. Now listen to this. He said, do you understand what you're reading? He said, how can I except some man guide me? And Philip says, I can. Let me show you. He took him to Romans chapter 3 and said, as is written, there's none righteous, no, not one. Romans chapter 3, verse 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I don't know if he used those verses or not, but he did show him from the scriptures in Isaiah that he was a sinner needing a Savior, that he needed to trust Jesus Christ as a Savior, and that Ethiopian eunuch got saved that day and was baptized. And he says that I have been searching everywhere for the truth. That's why you got people going from church to church and religion to religion and from this to that to try to figure out what the truth is. He was trying to intellectually find the truth. Let me say this very clearly. Don't take this the wrong way. Education is not the answer if education is not based on truth. If education is not based on truth, we're educating people in a lie. Evolution is a lie. Amen. There's no science to it at all. The Big Bang Theory, not the TV show from filthy Hollywood, but the actual science, quote-unquote scientific view, most scientists do not agree with it. There is no science to it. By the way, it's called the theory of. Theories aren't proven fact. Everybody doing all right?
Yes, sir.
If it's the moment we took that out of education is the moment education started taking everybody to hell in a handbasket in a hurry in our educational system.
Yes, sir.
You didn't have rape and molestation in schools when we had the Word of God. You didn't have students shooting and each other and teachers. You didn't have teachers violating students when we had the Word of God in the school system.
Amen.
I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this, but let me say this. Globalism and the global initiative is the forerunner to the Antichrist and the one world system. The GTIF, which is the Global Education something something, they have three premises, one of which, get rid of all national borders. Sounds like Obama. Sounds like the Democrats. They want one currency so that all currency is equal. Because everybody should have the same thing. And number three, they want to get rid of God and make humanism the world's religion. And anybody that goes, by the way, anybody that goes against that is considered a terrorist. The forerunner, by the way, this is being taught in our public school system all over America. That's why you have National Muslim Month. We're trying to teach human. By the way, humanism began being taught in our public school systems under FDR. He started rewriting the curriculums in the 1930s that came out in the 1940s after the war. We call the 1930s and 40s the greatest generation because they won World War II, but listen to this statement. They raised the hippies and the rebels of the 1960s. Something got lost somewhere, and it was called the public school system, reteaching them, and we brought the communists that we just defeated in Europe from all over the world back to our college campuses in the 1950s and 1960s to teach our students that communism and socialism really isn't that bad. Communism is filthy, vile, and wicked. Socialism is a God-hating philosophy. So is communism. That's why you see, oh, go to the church of your choice. How about let's go to the church of God's choice?
Amen.
Well, you can come as you are. Come in your pajamas and your flip-flops. Come in your bathing suit so that you can go to the pool after Sunday school. Matter of fact, we'll provide one for you here. We'll have an open bar, and you can drink alcohol here. Just come, and let's have a little talk with Jesus. Gag. God's not in that trash.
That's right.
I believe when you come to church, you ought to give the best of what you got.
Amen.
Now, if your best is a pair of blue jeans and a t-shirt, make sure they're clean and come.
Amen.
Everybody doing all right?
Yes, sir.
Preacher, that's not how... that's what God said do.
Amen.
We'll work on cleaning you up thereafter, but you give the best of what you got to God. The eunuch found the truth by the man of God telling him what the truth was. Can I tell you something? You're not going to tell God how you're going to get to heaven. You're going to do what God said or you're not going to get there.
Amen.
That simple. We have no authority to tell God anything. Everybody look at me for a second. When I was a kid, if my dad said, son, time for you to take trash out. And I said, oh, Dad, how come Chris can't take it? Here's the next statement. You have one of two choices. You can take the trash out, or you can get a whooping and take the trash out. But either way, you're taking the trash out. Y'all remember those statements? He remembers it very well, and so do I. Now, wait a minute. I'm not telling you how it ended up every time either. But I can tell you which end was up. On both occasions. Can I tell you something? There were times I'd say, but Dad, why do I have to do this? You don't tell me how to do it. I'm Dad. You do it because I said do it.
Amen.
Well, he didn't give you understanding. Yeah, I understood. He told me to do it and I was supposed to do it.
Yes, sir.
I figured it out later on my own. Amen. You have no business telling authority what to do. You do what authority says do. If the police officer pulls you over, even if you don't think you did something wrong, it would be wise for you to listen and obey the commands. Everybody doing all right? Well, he just has no right. You don't know what they go through, and you may not have seen what you did. And for you to fight that, you're rebelling and disobeying God by doing it. Every one of the cases of quote-unquote police brutality, black on white, that they talk about, amen, Brother Neil? Every one of those cases could have been solved with two words. Yes, sir.
Yep.
Every one of them.
Well, it's a shame that black young men and black people have to teach their kids how to behave around a police officer. Dad, do you remember?
About the time I was 15, 16 years old, getting ready to drive, my dad said, son, if you ever do something wrong and a police officer pulls you over, this is exactly how you're supposed to behave yourself. He taught me, put both hands on top of the steering wheel so your hands are clearly in plain view. He told me to roll my window down as before the officer got there, put your hands on the steering wheel, and say, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And do whatever he said. And I remember my dad saying, even if he pulls you out of the car and puts you in handcuffs, let him do it. We'll figure it out later. But it's better that you be alive and doing what you're supposed to do than plead your own case and end up in worse trouble. I remember that conversation. I remembered it 4 years earlier when my brother had it. Huh. My dad taught me how to behave myself with a police officer. I thought that's what all parents did. That's what good parents do. You talk to your children about how to behave in certain situations. Boy, I'm having fun. Glory to God. This Ethiopian eunuch was going from place to place, religion to religion, to try to find whatever satisfied. By the way, humanism has never satisfied anything but the flesh. Man makes a pretty bad God. Do you ever notice how bad the world is? I wouldn't think the public school system makes a very good God. Look what they're turning out. Number three. And by the way, if you go to a public school, it doesn't mean you're a bad person. But I'll promise you, you're seeing some of the things I'm talking about. Number three. First thing we do is we hide and try to cover it up. Second thing we do is we begin to search using our intellectualism to try to explain it away. Number three, you run away or self-destruct. You run away or self-destruct. The Philippian jailer was ready to commit suicide just because something bad took place. Let me ask you a question. How smart is that? Young people, listen to me. I don't care how bad it gets. You come see the preacher, I'll help you through it. You never have to take your life. God is the giver and taker of life, not you. Well, you just don't know how bad it is, preacher. I'm a teenager and I'm pregnant. I can help get you through it. I don't care how bad it gets. You did this against your spouse, or you've done this, or you've committed this wrong. Can I tell you something? I don't care how bad it gets. You can fix it. Everybody doing all right? He was so stressed, he was so scared, he was so confused that he could only think of suicide. And by the way, just because somebody says something bad about you doesn't make them a bully. I am so sick and tired of the word bully. Sticks and stones can break your bones, but words can never hurt you.
Amen.
I can look you square in the face and say, I think you're ugly. I think you look like a piece of mud and everything else. Guess what? It didn't really hurt him. He can look at me and say, preacher, your shirt and your tie don't match, your suit and your socks don't match anything. And your shoes don't match each other. Yes, they do. Guess what? I may not like what he said, but it didn't hurt anything. We live in such a sissified society.
That's right.
That's right. Preach it.
If I got upset over every little thing somebody said negative about me, I'd have killed people a long time ago. I'd have cut loose some Dunkin' Donut coffee yesterday morning. I cannot believe it. I went to Dunkin' Donuts yesterday to treat myself. I've been good. I haven't been there in weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks. And I said, I got a couple extra dollars. You're going to buy me a coffee. I got me an extra large black coffee. Drove from down there to up here. And you know, it's usually so hot it takes the hair off your tonsils right away. So you let it sit for a few minutes. I got in here, got everything situated in the office, and popped that thing open and went like this, and I literally spit it out in my trash can. They gave me hot tea. That's like the unpardonable sin. I couldn't get that taste out of my mouth. I mean, I went to the bathroom, turned the sink on, put my head under the sink, trying to wash it out of my mouth. Say, what'd you do, preacher? I got my keys and wallet, got back in my truck, drove down there, walked in, set it down, said, that's tea, not coffee. And Sherry looked at me, she said, old preacher, get him the coffee, quick. She knows me. They said, what do you want in it? I said, don't corrupt the holy bean. Nothing. My name's not Ellen Moore with 10 sugars and 7 creams in one cup of coffee. What was it? 10 cream and 5 sweetened loaves or whatever. Lord have mercy. That's like a condensed milk with a shot of coffee in it. Good night. Now, I was ready to go ballistic. You don't put tea in a coffee cup, amen? Now, wait a minute. I know people that would have been angry, screaming and hollering. I said, what'd you do? I walked in. She said, something wrong? I said, that's tea. Oh, no, we'll get you a cup of coffee. I said, thanks. I said, this old preacher, this old man doesn't start without coffee. I got to have it. Amen. I said, and that's not going in my mouth ever again. My wife said, I think you better taste your coffee before you leave from now on. I'm not going to have any taste buds if I taste it right away. Now, wait a minute. I know a pastor.
Won't give you the state. I could. He and his family were out back doing yard work. His 19-year-old son had done some wrong. He was 17. 17-year-old son had done some wrong things in their Christian school that his dad oversaw and pastored the church of. They were all out working. He was in his room. And they heard a gunshot inside. That pastor rushed in to find his son, who had taken a gun and shot himself in the head and killed himself. He died in his arms with a note saying, Dad, I'm sorry I embarrassed you. That family has lived for decades. His brother and sister heard the gunshot that took his own life. Young people, that's the worst thing in the world to do. So all you do is make it worse on everybody, including yourself. Now, you won't die and go to hell because you commit suicide. If you're saved, you're going to heaven no matter what. But some of you are going to end your life early because of it. And that's not real life. Somebody will die and go to hell because you didn't stay here and do what God wants you to do. We think running away or going somewhere else will solve the problem. Did you know if you have a problem and you leave and go somewhere else, you didn't fix the problem, you just took the problem to another place?
That's right.
If you're having trouble in your marriage and you leave your wife and go marry somebody else, guess what? You're going to have troubles again. Unless you fix the problem.
Right.
Changing partners doesn't change the problem. Everybody doing all right? I'm having fun here. Matter of fact, usually running away or changing adds to the problems. You have more problems in more places. You think it's going to be better going somewhere else. Just stay put. It's okay. I know church members, they get mad at the preacher, so they decide they're going to change churches. And usually it's not the preacher's fault. Now, not always. Some preachers are just obstinate, and I understand that. If God has you make a change, God has you make a change. But why don't you stay here and make it right?
That's right. Amen.
Running to another city because you know so-and-so and quit everything to go run to another city because you know this certain preacher doesn't fix anything.
That's right. Yep.
Matter of fact, my Bible says in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Amen.
The best thing for you to do is to confess your sins to God, get it right at the altar, get up, and walk away clean, and don't do it again.
Amen.
If you die today, are you 100% sure you're going to heaven? First of all, you need to know for sure you're going to heaven. You need to get saved. I'm not talking about some religious experience where you lay on the floor and flip and flop and start talking like a motorcycle on nitrous oxide. Something like that. I'm talking about you realize you're a sinner, and because you're a sinner, there's a penalty on sin. That penalty is death and hell, and that Jesus Christ paid that penalty for you. Joining a church can't help you. Getting baptized can't help you. Living a good life can't help you. You have to accept what Jesus Christ did, and that alone to take you to heaven. The moment you do that, you can know for sure you're going to heaven.
Amen.
But wait a minute. Many of you are saved. You've done wrong things. Why do you want to try to hide it? Why do you want to cover it up? Why do you want to explain it away with your intellectualism? Why do you just want to run and hide? Run away. Change places. How about you get it right? That's why this church is a hospital, not a museum. That's why this church has just an old-fashioned altar.
so that you can get right. Nobody else has to know what it is. Doesn't matter. It's nobody else's business. You just get it right. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I'm done. Who'd say, preacher? If I die today, I am 100% sure I'm going to heaven. I know that for sure. Would you raise your hand? Don't you lie to God. God bless you. You can put your hands down. I will not embarrass you. I will not come to you. I'll not call your name. I'll not point you out. Who'd say, preacher, if I die today, I'm not sure, but I'd like to know sometime that I know for sure I'm going to heaven. Would you raise your hand? God bless you. Who'd say, preacher, somewhere in that sermon is something I personally needed today. I needed that. Would you raise your hand? Oh, my soul, dozens and dozens and dozens of hands. In a moment, we'll stand to our feet. When we stand to our feet, some of you need to come to this altar, not just sit there at your seat, but move forward and get on your face before God here at the altar and get something right with him. Some of you might not know for sure you're going to heaven when you die. Why don't you come and if you're a lady, I'll have a lady take the Bible. If you're a man, I'll have a man take the Bible and show you how you can know for sure. I'm not talking about a religious experience. I'm talking about getting saved, trusting Jesus as your Savior.